We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Yeah, Chicago sports for sure.
Afternoons on The Score.
Today, for the first time, I think it's time to pose the question, is Tevin Jenkins a lock to make this football team? I mean, you know, you look at the numbers games now, and you look at what's happening, and you got to remember. Now, again, if he doesn't, he's going to go somewhere and get another shot. I loved the kid coming out last year, number 39. I liked the trade up to get him. I think he could be a very, very good right tackle. Never understood them playing him at left tackle. But look at where the Bears are at now in the numbers game. If Borum is the same age in your right tackle, if Braxton Jones has a better future at left tackle, Riley Reiff is going to make a lot of money if he makes this team, and he's going to make this team. And if you want a swing tackle, you don't want Tevin Jenkins to have to go in as an emergency left tackle.
Good, fresh and stuff from Hub Arkish. Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Thrilled to be talking football again this year. With Hub, he joins us now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Happy game week, Hub. How are you?
I am doing very well. I hope you guys both are too.
We are. Thank you, Hub. Yeah, that was the day that Riley Reiff practiced for the first time, and he looked at the situation and said, I don't know about this, Tevin. And then, God, we have had craziness since then. What is your take on what has happened with Tevin Jenkins that led us to this point over the past week or so?
Well, honestly, Matt, I wish we knew more about it. He missed 10 days, 8 practices, came back, did some individual work, and then yesterday he did get in a few team things with running with the twos. Actually did run with the ones on one rep, I think it was. They refused to say what the injury is. After Matt Eberflus told us 100% it was an injury, we got a chance to ask Tevin, and he said he chose not to disclose it. It just doesn't make sense. You know, it continues to add to the perception that whatever is wrong, there is something wrong. And then you had to be in the room, although I guess maybe you could walk.
Bummer. Bummer, bummer, bummer.
He's talking about being in the room. I guess you could watch the video. I think he's talking about Tevin addressing the media.
Yeah, we'll pick it up there. We'll get a cleaner line with Hub or call him on his cell or whatever, because we have a hardline technology that, if people don't know, but sometimes it craps out, and yeah. We'll get him back and connected.
Also, Mark Grody later on, when he joins us and gives us like the best of the Bears tape that he has had and listened to from over the weekend, he's going to give us a compilation of the Tevin Jenkins stuff, which was a really interesting moment.
Yeah, and Grody will be in studio, so there'll be Moby Dick in studio. I know.
I knew I came to work for a reason.
Hub back with us now. We lost you, Hub, when you were saying like you could see it on video, but you had to be in the room with Tevin Jenkins. Pick it up there, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys. I don't know what this technology, what goes on, but at any rate,
you sound great right now, though.
Well, okay. It felt more like a sparring session than an interview. This is a kid who showed up last year, bubbly, effervescent, you know, thrilled to be a Chicago Bear. And Saturday, I think the way I wrote it was he almost appeared just a bit broken and less than thrilled to, you know, be where he was. And I hope I'm wrong, you know, because I do like the young man. But, you know, we've heard varying reports from various sources, some more reliable than others, that, you know, beyond a question of his ability, that maybe there's some concerns about his attitude with the new regime. Again, you know, they're telling us it's 100% injury, but we don't know what the injury is. And all I know is the interview that we played at the top. The numbers game don't bode well at this point, because not only all the people we mentioned, but a couple of these other kids that they brought in. Jatari Carter is one who really jumps out. I don't know that they're going to want to expose them to waivers, you know. So what I don't understand is, since you, even if it wasn't your regime, if you used the 39th pick in the draft for him, you'd want to get something, even if it's a 6 or a 7, and they are hurting his value as opposed to improving it by giving some information about what's gone wrong here. So it's just, it's a very mysterious situation right now. Hopefully we'll get to talk to Tevin again in a couple of days, and he'll be in a better place and a better mood having worked. But after what we saw Saturday and yesterday, and then talking to him Saturday, it just doesn't seem like anybody's real happy with the situation where it's at right now.
Hub, zooming out before getting back into any specifics, like it seems like the Bears' offensive plan is to run the ball a lot and protect Justin Fields that way. And you could argue with Herbert and Montgomery and Velus Jones and Justin Fields himself, that might be prudent and their strength. They did run the ball in terms of percentage of run plays, the eighth most of any team in the NFL last year. I think that would surprise a lot of people. Do you think they have the personnel to be a successful run-first team like the Titans, the Browns, the Colts, the Eagles, teams that maybe people would maybe more associate with being a run-dominant team?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you talk first about that being the goal, I don't even know if it's so much to protect Justin Fields, although it will help a little bit as he learns. But, you know, we're so focused on Luke Getsy, you got to look at where Matt Eberflus came from. And he's the head coach and the guy who's going to be giving the orders. And nobody was more run-dependent and dominant than the Colts. Now, they had more of a power run game than this outside zone read. But nonetheless, the point is, you know, Flus definitely wants to run the ball and play defense, and that's what they're going to do. I think that the personnel certainly lends itself better to being a run-first team than a pass-first team. Whether it is good enough to be really proficient at it, that remains to be seen. But I do feel, with the addition of the veterans now, with Reese and Schofield here and the way some of the kids look, everybody knows it's easier to run block than to pass block in the NFL. Everybody knows offensive linemen would prefer to run block than pass block. And I think they do have some guys who can do that job. And they definitely, if they have depth or strength anywhere, it's at running back and with blocking tight ends. It's something nobody's talking about enough. But not only am I really high on Cole Kmet overall, he's a true Y, and he's actually a good inline blocker. That is Ryan Griffin's specialty. This kid, Chase Allen, who's the undrafted free agent out of Iowa State, I'm convinced he's going to make the football team, was considered one of the best inline blockers in the draft. And so they're definitely better suited to be a run-first team, and they do have some, you know, some talent that suggests that they may be fairly good at it.
Hub, is it time to go to the couch of wide receivers and grab one, offer them a hand, and welcome them to the roster, be it Emmanuel Sanders or Will Fuller or T.Y. Hilton? Do the Bears need someone like that? They could find a way to afford it, probably.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders and T.Y. Hilton are both 33 years old, and I don't think you want to go there with this rebuild. I don't know what you really accomplished. I know you're trying to create another security blanket for Justin Fields, but they're saying, at least so far, that they don't see the need. I've really been surprised in the past week by all the love being thrown at Equanimeous St. Brown, not because he doesn't deserve it or isn't a good kid, but this is a guy who the Packers tried desperately to make a number two for 4 years, and he couldn't even hold on to the number four job. Now, Getsy says that he did a lot last year that wasn't seen behind the scenes, where he grew as a pro, and that he's really taken ownership of that this year. And so, you know, until I see something that suggests it's not true, I'll accept that. So I think your starting point right now is probably Mooney and St. Brown. They are somewhat invested in Byron Pringle. I didn't see it when they signed him, and I haven't seen it so far in camp, but we'll see what happens. Daz Newsome hasn't jumped off the page at you. Velus Jones is a great athlete, but obviously lacking some things at receiver if you look at his college career. And then you get to the disappointment of Saturday. N'Keal Harry was starting to turn a few eyes, and we don't know what that injury is, but it looked kind of serious. So, and then a few more bites. This kid, Kevin Shaw, out of Liberty, I find very interesting. So, maybe Will Fuller. That would be similar to the N'Keal Harry move and wouldn't cost you anything but money. But other than that, the older veterans, no. I just think at this point, again, because as we just discussed, they're going to focus more on the run anyway. I'm not sure that there's much point in doing that.
So the point would be that Justin Fields needs wide receivers who are going to do what they're supposed to do so he can learn the offense correctly. And might you trust a T.Y. Hilton or a Will Fuller more than you trust Tajay Sharp or some of these other kids? Doesn't that make sense?
It does make sense. And to your even maybe to add to your point, Tajay Sharp and Dante Pettis are not kids. They've been around a few years. They, you know, are failed picks elsewhere. But Pettis was actually a second round pick 3 years ago, 2019. So they've got those type of guys. Hilton is an interesting example because obviously Eberflus knows him well. And the main reason Pringle is here is because Poles knew him well from Kansas City. So there is something to be said for it. But anybody you bring in is going to be learning a new offense, a new terminology, and a new playbook. It's not as difficult for veterans as some people make it out to be. The terminology isn't that radically different from team to team. But nonetheless, getting a late start could be into week three, week four, week five by the time they're ready to be able to be dependable. I don't know how healthy with T.Y. Hilton, because you'd love to have him if you thought he was 100%, even at 33. And Emmanuel Sanders, I'm just afraid. The reason he's on the street is that he just was not getting open all that much at his last couple stops. He'd make an occasional big play, but you know, you can trust him to be where he's supposed to be. If he's covered, it doesn't do you much good.
Talking to Hub Arkish, Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Hub, assuming Darnell Mooney leads the team in receiving yards, who's your best guess for who will finish second?
Cole Kmet, and I'm not even sure Kmet won't lead the team. I have.
Wow.
If there's anything that's jumped out at me at camp, I am really high on Cole Kmet. I've liked this kid since they drafted him. I think people didn't really focus or realize how little football he had played at that point. But the clay you have to work with is really impressive in a lot of different ways. And you can, with him, he's somebody I watch him day to day, and I can see the market improvement. And I think what got lost on some folks. He had a good second year last year. He had 62 catches for 612 yards. Tight ends, notoriously slow developers. Those numbers are very comparable, actually better than a Zach Ertz, and very comparable with a Kelce or a Kittle. You know, in year two, Kittle had a better year too. What threw everybody was he didn't get in the end zone, and he has to. Obviously, he's got to be a factor in the red zone. He didn't score a touchdown last year. But when you go back and study some of these great tight ends, Kelce didn't arrive till year five, Zach Ertz until year six. This is year three, and watching him and seeing him just kind of, he seems to be blooming in front of our eyes. I think he's got a chance to be, I don't think he's there's only one Gronk. I'm not saying he's going to be Kelce or Kittle, but I think he's got a chance to be a very good tight end who even gets to a couple Pro Bowls. And I think if anybody is my first choice to be the breakout guy this year, right now it's Cole Kmet.
That would be amazing because I didn't balk at all at him finishing second in receiving yards. He finished second in receiving yards last year. He actually was ahead of Allen Robinson, like he's mentioned, 612 receiving yards. Mooney led it at 1,055. But the reports on Mooney have been so glowing. Like if Kmet could approach 1,000-plus yards, Hub, I mean, then they'd be a pretty good passing team. Like, you know what I mean? Multiple 1,000-plus yard capable receiving options, I think, would change how a lot of people perceive the Bears' offense.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. And you look at these other tight ends, and what you find is that they all have Super Bowl years to their credit. I'm talking about Gronkowski and Kittle and Kelce and Ertz. And in the years that they either got to or won Super Bowls, they were either the number one or number two receiver on the team. In a couple cases, they were the number one receiver. And you look at the quarterbacks they were playing with. Obviously, you know, Nick Foles is the outlier. Jimmy Garoppolo, we'll see what happens. But the other two we're talking about, of course, are, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, you know. And so it could very well be a young Justin Fields' best friend that his tight end is his second best option.
God, that would be great.
If he's, I mean, that would change how we watch Bears football this
year. Hub, what is being lost by Roquan Smith not being an active participant in reps with this defense as opposed to what he's run before in the NFL?
You know, it's a really great question, Matt, because it impacts them at several levels. I think for Roquan, he is a good fit for the Will linebacker spot. He's significantly smaller than Darius Leonard. He's just a little bit smaller than Derek Brooks. He's a fair amount smaller than Lance Briggs, but still the athlete that was built to play that position, and it's going to give him a chance to be more of a factor, not less. But Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, gave us a really good visual into what the difference is moving from inside in the 3-4 to outside in the Tampa 2. And when he was inside, he basically was looking straight ahead and having to watch plays coming from both directions. Now that he is going to be at the Will, he's going to be watching the edge and looking outside to see what's coming at him from that direction. And that's a totally different look. Now, you know, he should adjust fairly quickly to it. I don't worry about the scheme or the terminology, but it's being in a different place on the field and learning to take different angles. That's going to take him a little bit of time. I think that one of the things they did that was interesting before they even knew this was coming, they said last April that the green dot was going to Nicholas Morrow, that he's going to call the signals out there and that he's going to do the adjustments. And so he doesn't have that to worry about in this scheme. But then the other thing that's being impacted by Roquan's hold in, if you will, is that you've got Matt Adams and sometimes Joe Thomas playing out there now at the Will, when in fact they're supposed to be competing for the Sam linebacker spot. And I asked Alan Williams about this, I'm losing days, I don't know if it was yesterday or Saturday, about where the top competition is there, because I was hoping he'd mention a couple of the kids. I'm really intrigued by Jack Sanborn. I kind of like C.J. Avery, but he got waived the other day, waived injured. But he stuck with the two journeyman veteran. He says that Adams and Thomas are certainly the third and fourth at this point linebackers on the team. And so they're losing reps at the Sam while they're both filling in at the Will, you know, as long as Roquan is out.
So I'm sorry, Danny, but so if the dot is on Nicholas Morrow and he's calling the plays, then at least they're not losing that role's communication with the safety, which has to be so rock solid. I remember Urlacher and Mike Brown, or Urlacher and whoever, being a connection that had to be solid in this defense.
That is correct. And, you know, we wondered at the time, because Morrow's never done this before, and Roquan was doing it. And I think the reason is because, as Williams explains it, in the Tampa 2, it is ideal for the Mike linebacker to make the calls because he is the only one that has that wide-angle view of the line of scrimmage in the field. But at the same time, you almost start to wonder in the back of your mind now. I don't think Ryan Poles saw this hold-in coming. I think he was trying to drag it out a little bit so he could see a little bit more of Roquan before he committed to the $100 million-plus contract. That's my best guess. Roquan, who, as far as we know, is still representing himself, was smart to realize he had the leverage and he seized it. But I think now, did they maybe anticipate they weren't sure what they were doing with Roquan? And that's why they started trying to teach Morrow as soon as he got here. This is all the stuff that we're going to learn eventually, but it's still just too early in camp to know what they're thinking right now.
Hub, I know the young secondary is getting rave reviews. We can talk about that maybe in a minute. The front seven, lose Akeem Hicks, lose Khalil Mack, not a ton of talent on paper. Do you think they're more susceptible as a pass rushing unit or a run defensive unit?
Well, when you say front seven, you have to get Robert Quinn is a ton of talent. And
Roquan Smith. But, I mean, you know, Quinn, 32-33.
Oh, yeah.
Roquan Smith not there. You know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I'll go a step further. If Robert is having anywhere near the year he had last year, he's going to be gone by the trade deadline anyway.
Right.
As he should be in a rebuild, you know. So that's the harsh part of this, I know. I don't mean to say that so matter-of-factly because I love the guy, but that's the reality of it. You know, I didn't think they were going to work it out with Quinn, to be honest with you. The way I was hearing things during the off season, either I just missed on that one or there was a change of heart. But having him is a big deal relative to the front seven and specifically the defensive line, because now another one of the breakout players I see coming this year is Travis Gibson. He very quietly really stepped up and did pretty well once Khalil Mack went down. You know, he finishes with 7 sacks and 5 forced fumbles. 7 tackles for loss, and he's not even the starter right now. He's behind Al-Qadim Muhammad, who is a good left end. I don't think he has the upside of Gibson. Inside is where you wonder. Justin Jones has been very impressive early in camp. He does have the quick twitch that you're looking for at the three technique. Now, that said, we got to see real football before we know. Angelo Blackson is a career backup who is taking advantage of these opportunities. And Kyrus Tonga, who will play that anchor tackle with him, showed some promise last year. So at the end of the day, I would call them very middle of the road on that defensive line right now. And that's they only get there because of Quinn. But there is some upside, so they may be okay. The answer to your question is I worry more about the run defense than the pass rush, because as long as Quinn is there with Gibson on the other side, they don't like to blitz much. And so I think Williams is pretty much acknowledged. He's probably going to blitz a little more than he has in the past. But I think as long as you've got Quinn and Gibson on the edges, I think that you're going to see a pretty decent pass rush.
Last time, Hub, you said that you thought the secondary was going to be the strength of this team. Is Kyler Gordon going to be the nickel with Vildor at the other corner? And how have the two safeties looked together, Eddie Jackson reunited with a box safety, more traditional one?
Yeah, I think, Matt, they're still working through, you know, the actual depth chart, because Tavon Young is the real deal at the nickel. Now, they may not want to pay him because he's making more than these kids, and his injuries have been a problem with him. But knowing that Gordon is interchangeable, either on the boundary or the slot, is a tremendous advantage. I think they're trying to find out more probably about Gordon's press coverage abilities and his man-to-man, because if he's as strong as we think he is there, he's still probably more valuable to you on the outside. And you could have, you know, bookend corners for the next 5, 6, 7 years with him and Johnson if that's the way they go. The interesting story at camp, and I've talked about a few that I got wrong. This is one I think I'm getting right. People were just too hard on Kendall Vildor. He's having a decent camp. He still is a kid worth keeping an eye on. I know people got very upset because he had that very bad stretch that started about week 4, week 5 last year and actually got benched. But then he did quietly play better late in the year. And there's so much about confidence and attitude at that position. Vildor's got some skills. And so at the end of the day, when you look at this group that we're talking about, yeah, Brisker and Jackson look like they've been playing together for a couple of years already. And Brisker's been very impressive in camp. So I'm still where I was last time we talked about that. Now, you know, a couple rookies. We'll see. They haven't taken an NFL snap yet. But based on the traits and the mental side of it, what we've seen so far in practice, I think they got a chance to be pretty good in the secondary. And again, this comes back to needing that pass rush in front of them. Just another reason why, at least to start, Robert Quinn is so important to them.
Hub, it was good for me. Was it good for you?
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think looking forward to it. It's always fun when we get together. We can get down in the weeds on this stuff a little bit.
Hell yeah. Hub Arkish on the Parkinson Spiegel Show for game week, baby.
Oh, he's insufferable, Hub.
We'll talk soon, Hub. Thank you.
Take it easy, guys.
Oh, that was great. Oh, I loved it. Ugh. I was like, oh, am I with him? Am I with him? Are they more susceptible to the run or the pass? Okay, yeah, I think he made a pretty good case there. Okay, I like that. Oh, interesting, interesting. Built to run personnel.
I have a follow-up. Speaks, I have a follow-up. Can we get that one in there?
Speaks, can you go get a glass of water or something? Get out of the way. We're gonna talk baseball here in
but
a minute.
But I had follow-ups too, though.
I know. Football. Steve Stone coming up at 4 o'clock. Think we might have gotten the most direct clarifying answer yet on one of the biggest issues and questions facing a local team. And some audio that may embarrass one of the two members of the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Uh-oh.
And I don't think it's me. Coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
Afternoons on the Score.
Holds the ball behind his back. Looks at second. Kicks and fires the payoff pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. And that ends the ball game. Miami avoids the sweep. A 3-0 victory over the Cubs.
Zach Zaidman on the call. You're still hearing Cubs games right here on the home of Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. They are, Speaks. They're hearing them.
You're still hearing them. Should be my Bears takes that,
that you're hearing. I mean, I'm a little surprised that this Wednesday we're going to air this Cubs Day game instead of my most recent, well-thought-out executed Bears point.
How about Thursday, Mr. Man? Field of Dreams. Iowa.
We'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
We'll talk about that a little
later. I do want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, I know you do.
Yeah, I know, and I know you do.
I you know that I'll be here when we're talking about it.
is it okay if Studs and I are here, or is this just the Parkins and Spiegel show with the two members?
No, I think we can take that time off, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we can just take off the rest of the day, right?
You guys can run the board.
One of the two members of the show.
I said there was gonna be audio that embarrassed one of the two members of the show.
Yeah.
But in the context of the Parkins and Spiegel show, as in the two names.
Yes, you could have said one of the two namesakes of the Parkins and Spiegel show.
Or one of the two hosts of the show.
Yes.
Okay.
I know that Tanny's having a great time on vacation, but he is likely also incredibly offended.
Yeah.
And I know Studs is offended for
I
him.
I think you guys hopefully know how much I love and respect and cherish your contributions to the show.
Uh-huh.
And that was not my intention there, but maybe not.
Could all you guys put your feelings back in your pants and can we pay off the tees?
Is that how that goes?
The feelings
back in your pants?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's where my feelings are stored. frankly. Yes. So, Jed Hoyer
went on Marquee, took it upon himself.
It's a network that they own.
Yeah, but he took it upon himself to go on to the team-owned network and address the trade deadline stuff after his press conference, after coming on The Score with Mully and Haw. You remember last week when Jed was talking about the Soto trade? Like, boy, it'd be nice if maybe in the next few years we could make that kind of move.
Yeah.
And when he was talking about the prospects, well, it might be ready in, 2024. There were a couple things in there that were scary and were jarring, especially to those of us who have thought they're going to spend this offseason,
Yes.
And then he went on Marquee and sat there with a one-on-one with Cole Wright. And this much discussed idea of whether they need to wait for all the kids to be ready in the system and then spend to augment, or whether they could spend this offseason as the kids are coming. This was as clear as I've ever heard him say this, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll certainly have money to spend going into next year. And our goal is to build something really special. We know that truly special season may be a bit in the future, but we want to compete every in the meantime. So there'll be money to spend, and we look forward to getting to the off season and working on that. But in the meantime, we got a lot more games, and we can learn a lot over this next almost 2 months.
We want to compete in the meantime. That's pretty definitive, and we're going to spend. And now today is the report from Ken Rosenthal that the Cubs, quote, will get, end quote, one of the big four shortstops: Dansby Swanson, Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa. Did that strike you as definitive as it struck me? A different tone than he has had?
I don't find it to be that different.
I do.
Really?
Oh, I do. I found that to be strikingly different.
They spent last offseason, man.
Yeah, they did.
They're 14th in payroll.
But what I'm saying is, and they will spend again. But what we still deal with, understandably, on some level, is the muscle memory of decades of crappy Tribune ownership and a cynicism and disdain for ownership now that leads people to say they're not going to spend. They're just going to happily take the money and blah, 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 blah.
But yes, some fans feel that way. In our conversation, I never have thought that that was like a legitimate or valid thing because, again, if you were just trying to bottom out and collect all of your money, why would you sign Suzuki? Why would you sign Stroman?
Right.
Why, when you're going to win 70 games, would you be 14th in payroll and not 24th in payroll? Like, they are going to sign a shortstop this year. But signing Trey Turner doesn't make them a competitive team on opening day next year.
Well, they're going to do some other things and try to compete. Because there's the baseball thought process, the pure baseball thought process that most rebuilds, you wait for the kids to all arrive as your core, and then you spend.
Right.
And I've been contending that you don't need to do that anymore in this landscape. And this is him talking his way towards that reality.
But I don't think that it's very likely that Jed Hoyer changed his organizational outlook or philosophy for the Cubs between the Mullion Haw interview and the Cole Wright interview. Like, that doesn't. He's a pretty measured guy. He's a pretty smart guy. They've had a plan of what they're doing. I think that, you know, maybe the word choice is crisper and cleaner there, but I think that, like, they spent last offseason, they'll spend this year. My thing is, when do the actions match the words of, on opening day, when I look to Vegas, when I pull up my BetRivers app, mm-hmm. when you pull up your FanDuel app, and I look for win total.
Yeah.
Or National League Central odds.
What was it this year? Was it like 74?
70, like 2.5?
Uh-huh.
73? You know what I mean?
What do you think it's going to be next year?
78.5. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think they're going to go into the year having fielded a legitimately competitive day one roster. That doesn't mean that they won't be, quote unquote, trying to win. It doesn't mean that if they don't start hot, that they couldn't be a buyer in a weird year. It doesn't mean that if the Brewers or the Cardinals have bad years because this isn't the NL West or the AL East, that they couldn't sneak a playoff win in with 85 wins. But what I'm talking about is, when do they go into the year with an expectation of 90-plus wins from day one?
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're a shortstop and a starting pitcher and a couple
they're
of
not.
Free agent contracts away from doing that opening day next year.
But
I would be surprised.
But if you were a fan,
I hope I'm wrong,
if you were a fan and you saw an expected win total of 80, 81, you'd feel a hell of a lot better than you did this past spring.
That would be very different than what Jed said before. Because what Jed said to Mullion Haw was that he wants the special years are the years where you can legitimately win the World Series. And he's not interested in eking into the playoffs and backing in and that sort of thing.
Mm.
So, like, you know what I mean? I don't find it to be that different, because if last year it was Stroman and Suzuki and this year it's Turner and name a starting pitcher free agent that is going to be out there.
There's very few. That's a problem.
Okay.
So they might have to keep one of their own. If Wade Miley finishes strong, maybe they keep him.
Sure.
Or something like
but
that.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that is going to be enough to generate a ton of...
I think this has been the central issue of conversation is how much they're going to spend and how aggressive they're going to be this offseason. And him choosing to go on there and speak like that, and then Tony Andracki wrote it up, and that's the headline, is that they are going to spend. That was to me a very noticeable and notable brand of clarity on that central issue after there was some pushback from his press conference post-trade deadline and from his radio appearances post-trade
deadline. There has been pushback. They were interested in Correa. They were interested in Hosmer. They've mm-hmm. paid the luxury tax multiple times under this ownership group. They landed Suzuki. They landed Stroman. They're 14th in payroll. Like, there's not a lot of data that supports that they're not going to spend again. There's feeling, there's sentiment,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of hardline data that suggests that the Cubs are going to be cheap in perpetuity.
All right, you want to get to your embarrassing audio, or I could talk about Franmil Reyes.
Talk about Franmil Reyes. We'll get to the audio in a couple minutes.
Franmil Reyes was awful this year in Cleveland. Tanny's pick in the home run pool.
And he's been bemoaning him all year. Like, what did I do? What did happen? What happened was Franmil Reyes last year said he was going to work real hard in the offseason, and then he didn't. Danny, he showed up to camp, and he hadn't faced live pitching in 6 months. He was heavy. His work ethic has been questioned. He's been terrible, so they just designated him for assignment. This is a dude who's got 40, 50 home run season kind of power.
He was the opening day cleanup hitter for the Cleveland Guardians in a year where they expected to win the American League Central or at least compete for it.
Or at least compete. And in a lineup desperate for power.
I know the White Sox were the favorites, yes. But in Cleveland, they absolutely thought that they were going to be competitive this year.
And they just designated him for assignment. So he was terrible, a disaster. This is exactly what you do with your 2 months. This is exactly what you do. This is a two-month audition for Franmil Reyes for the Cubs and an audition for the Cubs to try and show him that they can work with him. Carter Hawkins, who used to be in their front office, theoretically should know some ways to unlock that. The talent in that man or the focus in that man. We'll see if he clicks with Greg Brown, the hitting coach, or whatever, but it's a no-brainer of an opportunity. This is a serious power hitter if his mind and his body is right.
Yeah, good. Well, this is like this is a cousin of the who was the dude that they
Yonder Alonso?
No.
Manny Machado?
It was Franmil Reyes' cousin.
No, you wanted him to be getting the at-bats over Jason Hayward. They sent him
Clint
down. Clint Frazier.
His name is Jackson.
Jackson Frazier.
Please, 2022, identify him properly.
Jackson Frazier. I almost corrected Hub that Darius Leonard wants to go now as Shaquille Leonard.
Oh, that's right.
But I...
Good job.
Right?
You're trying to establish...
That's a good non-correction in the first time I've talked to Hub this football season. That was good. Come on, guys.
Danny wants praise.
Gotta ease into it. Finally showing some restraint.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, your power is in the restraint. Your power is not in muscling up. You show the restraint, you're the one who's the more adult person.
We'll see if he shows that same restraint in his first hit with Dan Wiederer on Friday.
No chance.
Can't wait.
That is going to be... I'm glad that the first one we did as a show... didn't have Danny, frankly.
Exactly.
Like I was able to I was able to establish a little rapport and like an honest kind of like get to know each other a little bit. And now, because every once in a while, I'm just gonna have to back off and let them swat their feelings around before they put them back in their pants.
You were able to establish the good cop, bad cop, like mom is nice, dad is mean, or dad is nice, mom is mean, that kind of thing.
Yes,
it's funny.
He's got to run to someone when the other one starts yelling at him.
Speaks, work with me here. Danny's on one today. I said, I know Dan. I know.
I sent Dan Wiederer a very nice welcome to the team text. We went back and forth on how I have an expectation that our segments will be the best Bears talk anywhere in Chicago radio. Got all the pleasantries out of the way.
Wani's still on the show, right?
So that when he is.
Okay.
So when he comes on Friday, we don't have to pretend anything. We can just start debating hardcore football, mister. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. What time is he on Friday?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. On Fridays.
Let me schedule a phone call.
It's going to be so good.
No, he's good, man.
We had a few Twitter battles over the last couple of years.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Tweet battles. That's how deep it got. Instead of just replying, you guys quote tweeted each other.
So everybody could see each other out a little bit.
Yeah, did it start with some subtweeting?
I think it was the Bengals game that Danny really, really enjoyed the Justin Fields performance and said this is the closest they've ever been to a Super Bowl with Justin Fields performing the way he did against the Bengals.
Oh,
and
wow.
Weider is like, dude, you're an idiot.
Looking forward to it.
And we were all like, Dan, we hear you, man.
Yeah, no, and all of my friends and teammates here sided with Weider. I remember.
No, not maybe publicly, but I agreed with you. Yeah. We talked about that closest and most exciting they've been.
Publicly for the bit, you agreed with Wiederer. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Honestly, whatever makes best radio. Speaking of which, we'll embarrass Spiegs and then talk to Steve Stone coming up. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on the score.
And he's going to be dead.
Steve Stone coming up at 4 o'clock. He's been in a baseball broadcast booth for a long, long time. He's a colleague of Matt Spiegel's, many would say. You're a baseball play-by-play man of sorts.
Occasionally I get the chance. Had an inning on Friday. Absolutely had such a good time. It's so interesting because as we are talkers and theoretical entertainers, that part is easy. I know how to prep for that and come with stuff. What's not easy is the actual doing of the game, you know, like the mechanics of doing the game. So I should probably do a practice game
at home just into a mic, and the week before I get to do one every 5 or 6 weeks.
You probably should, yeah. But if that would cut down on our opportunity to make fun of you, then I would be very disappointed. But listen, you're living a childhood dream.
Oh, man.
Calling Major League Baseball. Best. So who are we, if not your friends, to make fun of you a little bit?
Thank God you guys are here.
Right?
Yeah, because I almost enjoyed it so much, like the camaraderie of the other team's broadcasters, and Coom and Zach are so warm, and Paul's a ring. I almost enjoyed it to the point that it might be a good memory, so I need you guys to soil that.
All right, excellent. So I didn't hear your fifth inning because I wasn't listening, but Tanny was, and
I was listening too, Speaks.
Thanks, buddy.
Tanny was.
It's fine. I was asleep.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm living out my dream. You guys make fun of me all the time, so this is just how we treat each other. So,
in my defense, I was working the morning show last week, so I was asleep.
I thought, you know what's funny is when you said you were asleep, and I'm like, weren't you on the board?
Weren't you producing?
Yeah, that was Ray. It was Ray.
Not the point. Yeah. Tanny listened. He said, "You got, even though I'm on vacation, you guys got to play these two clips and these two clips only from Speaks' fifth inning of play-by-play. I have heard one of the two. I have not heard this one. Clip number one, please."
Absolutely gorgeous day at Wrigley Field. Scoreless ball game. Bottom of the fifth. Game moving too fast. Swing and a miss from McKinstry. One of those days when you'd like to spend a good 4 to 6 hours here at the ballpark. Just relax. Maybe not for you, Ron Coomer, and you guys who got back from the road trip, but I'm the newbie. I'm fresh-faced and excitable.
Game moving too fast. All the guy does is take. He's given the fifth inning, and he wants the game to slow down more so he can be behind that precious play-by-play microphone.
That's right.
Even longer.
No, that's
even
right.
Longer. Game moving by too fast, huh, Speaks?
Oh,
it's his game. There's the game, and then the game starts in the fifth inning.
The first shot of the game.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Oh, God.
That's what he does.
Game moving too fast.
Hey, no, I was enjoying myself in the second row behind Zach and Coom as they were doing it, and I was a little bitty part of the thing. It was just one of those beautiful days where you want the game to take a while, and it was flying by.
But you hear Coom being like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, if you've that's because Coom was coming off the ridiculous day-night doubleheader in St. Louis, and then travel problems and other problems. Let's just say he's a pro of epic proportions.
Well, let's just say if you've ever been in a baseball press box, there isn't a single person on the mic, writing, on the PR stuff, anyway, who's rooting for the games to go longer. Like, they attend 162 of them.
I was that guy.
Yeah, and you were the guy rooting for the game to go longer.
Yeah,
because you're the newbie.
Yeah.
And, all right. Well, so then, all right, there we go. The game all about him. That is a very Speaksian call. I love it. Don't make the game about yourself unless you are Matt Spiegel.
Oh, my
Vince
God.
Vince Scully.
Have you listened to your own show lately?
Yeah, they don't say that's not the rule for talk shows. It's the exact opposite for talk shows.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
true.
You're the star. That's why I like talk shows more than play by play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Game is the star
the
of
game
play
is
by
the
play.
Star. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Hosts are the star of the talk show, buddy.
Speaks. He is the member of the Parkinson's Spiegel show.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to remember
sure
that.
Is.
Yeah.
He's the sole member. He's been acting like a member all day.
Damn, Skippy. All right. Tanny, let's hear the second cut, please.
Yeah. A fine hand for Steele, who strikes out 10 in 4 2/3. The Cubs. Right here with a scoreless game against the Marlins at Wrigley Field. You're listening to The Score.
Oh, yeah.
A fine hand for Steele, who strikes out 10 in 4 2/3. The Cubs right here with a scoreless game against the Marlins at Wrigley Field. You're listening to The Score.
Put that on a billboard. The Cubs. You've got the Cubs fan on The Score.
You hit one off that
video. Yes.
Whether you're old or brim.
It's the Cubs fan and the Marlins four.
Now, I can explain, if you'd like an explanation.
Sure. Go ahead. While you're thinking of an explanation, Studs, can we hear it one more time, please?
The Cubs.
Go ahead.
So there's a read. You know how you have these like sponsorships that fit in. There's a read from our friends at Geico that you're supposed to read when they get their 15th out, when they get the final out of the inning. The 15th out is sponsored by Geico.
Oh, that happens in your inning.
Yeah, right. So and it's I have forgotten it before when I go to the break. At the end of the inning.
You forgot a read? No way.
Yeah. So I always want to try and make sure I remember to get the read in. Now, Justin Steele was taken out after 4 2/3. That would be 14 outs. So we were going to an extra break because there's a pitching change, and I went to grab the read and do the read for the 15th out, and then I realized that it was not the 15th out, so I had to abort my plan to do the read. And that's what you're hearing is me live saying, oh, no. So as
the Cubs...
It's just such a good slogan. Cubs baseball 2022. The Cubs at the trade deadline.
Cubs lineup tonight.
It's so good.
Bears preseason, week one.
You know what? It could work for a lot of teams in this town.
It could. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, White Sox as they approach the middle of their winning window.
Chicago sports.
Larry Garcia playing his 200th game of the year.
What is not fair is Steve Stone's analysis. He makes us smarter and more informed. Next on The Score.
The Cubs.
Hey, scoreheads. Want to party with the Mully and Haas show in Las Vegas and register for your shot at the grand prize in the Circa Million 4 Pro Football Contest?
You ought to come out. Come on. Vegas, baby.
Las Vegas washes away your sins.
Come hang out with the guys broadcasting live from Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sportsbook, next Friday from 6 till 10 a.m.
The best, the biggest sportsbook in Vegas.
You know it's going to be one of those places you don't want to leave.
Then join the show poolside at Circa Stadium Swim.
Cannonball!
For a special Saturday afternoon edition of Mully and Haas. We're in registration for the Circa Million 4 Pro Football Contest. You gotta sign up in person.
Mully and Haas live from Circa Las Vegas
on 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Calling all baseball fans, this week Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is your home for same-game parlay bets and bets on all professional baseball games. That's right. Create your ideal same-game parlay of over three legs and receive up to 350% profit boost. That's right. You get a 50% profit boost when you place qualifying same-game parlay wagers this week only. It's an awesome opportunity to try out the same-game parlay feature. You can take three player props, or the Cubs to win, the game to go over, and a player prop, or the White Sox to win, the game to go under, and three player props, whatever the case may be. You parlay them all together. You could bet a little to win a lot, and they're going to give you profit boosts on wagers, up to three of them, when you make same-game parlays on baseball bets this week at Bet Rivers. And, of course, sign up, download the app, and the code 250MATCH is still good, where they'll match you 100% up to $250. Must be 21 or over, available in Illinois only, void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.